Even George, tried to carry a, like super real power, high-tech presentation. Okay, so this slide is deliberate because I saw and I noticed that with talks are meant to stimulate discussion, so I feel this is the best way to stimulate discussion, so I can go where I'm going to go. I have a rough plan for what I'm thinking of doing, but I might not quite get there depending on how the discussion goes. So basically what I'm talking about is a scenario for cosmology involving based on moduli, which seems to be consistent. We can argue how attractive it is. Eventually I'll end up with this. I guess I might not have time to get to this. If I don't, my student YL will be giving a talk about it on CETA. On Friday at CETA. And we have a nice model, it's very simple to explain. Hopefully I'll have some time to get around to all this. Okay, so we're wanting to give an overall view of cosmology. So what should our starting point be? Well, one starting point should be the particle physics that it can be based on. Nowadays, this kind of picture is very familiar, even to string theorists and particle physicists. Cosmologists have been doing this kind of thing for a long time. And first question to ask is, when you have a sort of your broad view of string theory with that kind of landscape, what kind of things do you expect to happen in your cosmology? Not what you want to happen, but what you expect to happen. Well, first thing to know is that we have some potential. We have some minima and some maxima. Some of these minima and maxima are going to be unstable and eventually decay very quickly and will not do anything very interesting. But many of them will be temporarily stable. And it's well known that if you have a simple false vacuum, it gives rise to all the inflation that was good for the original model. Also, if you have a simple maximum, again, that gives rise to inflation. All you need is that the mass at the maximum should be less than order. And if you have a typical working type potential, this is the kind of thing you expect. And so in particular, with this kind of picture, with moduli type potentials, you expect to get inflation, both of the old type and simple inflation just rolling off the maximum. And you don't just get inflation. What you generically get is a term inflation. Again, it's well known, one of the problems with our old inflation was that it went on forever with rather mild conditions on the properties of a false vacuum. Also, if you have a simple maxima, you get a turn inflation at the maxima, again with a relatively mild condition on the max. So the point I want to emphasize here is that it's often said that inflation is difficult. It's not. Inflation is generic. You would expect it to happen even if you didn't need it to happen. Even if you didn't want it, it would be happen. It would happen and it would be a problem if you didn't want it. So inflation is a generic thing that you expect to get from string theory.
You mean self-reproducing?
Yes, the term inflation, self-reproducing.
So, you had assumed something in that statement.
I assumed
which is that there is a supergravity approximation where you can apply the usual rules of local quantum theory.
Yes, and since we exist in such a regime, presumably it's not visual to expect in such a way that
no, but I'm just pointing out that this may not be the most natural statement, typically.
Yes, so.
So you said it's easy to get inflation in the street area. I would argue, well, at a scale that's, what generates the separation of scale? If it's inflation, doing inflation, what separates that from the farm scale? What's the dynamics that makes that generic? I don't
Okay, so in this talk, I will be working where at least we have some low energy below the Planck scale. So not, I won't be considering regimes where they're completely stringy but can't have a low energy effective differential. So I'll exclude those.
Presupposes solving one of the hardest problems in the whole business, right?
To get this started, you only need a modest hierarchy. And to get our vacuum, which I'm assuming we have a picture where it includes our vacuum, we must have at least some regions where you do have a lot of hierarchy, because we put the picture. So I'm not going to say about how common a lot of hierarchy is. I don't think that's too common. What I'll require is that there does exist a regime where you get a normal low energy effective field theory type description to the gravity description.
Can you four dimensions?
I think
you're assuming that the moduli that takes the scale over the general spaces and so forth, they're fixed by the time you're considering this dynamics, or they participate?
This initial dynamics are everything will be changing. So the number of dimensions of space time could also change. I'm not there may be some constraints depending on how whether this argument, which I'm using based on the effective force field theory, also work in other dimensions. So if they don't work in other dimensions, then I can relegate those other cases to these amongst this sort of set of string theory things where you don't even have a field theory description. So there'll be some set of string theory which I'm not considering. But I'm just considering at least the parts of string theory where you have a low energy description, and the types of things you get in 4D also have a very generic, like false vacuum. Okay, it's basically one. False vacuum.
Do you make any assumptions about supersymmetry or at the scale of it?
At this stage, no, because I'm looking at all the string theory, and you would not expect supersymmetry to be broken on the same scale as all the string theory. So that's why we use a lot of different types. Later on, I'll be specializing more to the neighborhood of our vacuum, and then I will take a fixed scale of supersymmetry. But here, considering the wider picture, like nowadays you call it the landscape.
So what's the below this straight line? Is it negative potential?
It's going to be equal.
Can we really have this kind of landscape? And how about, can you tell from positive?
Well, you expect physics to be connected, and if you have lots of different vacuums, you will be somewhere that you at least half.
The main message here is inflation is not very rare event, it's very typical event. And quasi-decenter solutions, which are self-reproducing, is very powerful mechanism. And I absolutely agree with Steven that I don't think it's well propagated to the string community, which usually deals with very idealistic short particular space time. And it's not a big deal to make inflation a universe.
It is a big deal if you're starting from quantum gravity.
No. If you have peace, no. It's a relatively big deal to make acceptable inflation with good level of fluctuations and with long duration. But if you have relatively low, 100 times slower than Planckian, and relatively mild potential for these conditions, you have decenter solution, period.
I'm well aware of that. That's not the question I'm asking. Yeah. That sidesteps the issue of how that scale got generated in the first place.
Yeah. So
this is not a theory about that.
I'm not intending to demonstrate anything starting from first principles in string theory. I'm saying, okay, we're taking string theory as our theory of everything. And I'm working in regimes of string theory which have a low energy effective description.
What sounds like you're working in a regime where you have a low energy effective field theory description?
Yes.
And so you can just use Wilsonian thinking, and we don't even need to defer to string theory, except to say, well, this is the theory that provides the ultraviolet completion. That is exactly what you're using here. You're using Wilsonian reasoning. For example, there is no explanation of where the cosmological constant is. So it's
more
on this analysis
that you can do. Well, it's generically not small. Again, that's not very important, I think. It's generically not small. And you would use anthropic arguments to justify why our neighborhood is string theory.
I'm asking technical questions because I'm trying to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah. So, again, also, basically, the only things I'm taking from string theory, so even if string theory is wrong, this is likely to still be valid, so I'm not supposing string theory is wrong. Yeah, with a large variety of vacuum, large landscape.
Anyway, there is an understated assumption by a graph like this, which is that it's a graph with axes.
Yeah.
And if you put axes, it would automatically assume that you've got some solution to a problem. Namely, we have scalar degrees of freedom and some kind of measure of energy, and that
which
is what he's putting in, and that's not an unreasonable assumption to start with.
Of course it's not unreasonable, but I'm pointing out that, again, what you're talking about, what you're bringing in from the string theory, really is only that there's a large number of vacuum,
yeah,
which could have been the case in compacted by higher dimensional quantum field theory, which we then not understand in the completion, but...
I would argue that this kind of thing is going to be the case in any day of average mechanism. That would be my question, but then again, let's not get into that. So I'm not using a lot from string here. I'm just using this picture of many vascular or wide landscape, and I'm assuming some recent string theory have a low energy description, and I'm working in those regions. Okay, so once we have this kind of picture, we argue that inflation is generic. It's something you would expect to happen even if you didn't want it to happen. And in particular, the inflation is generically eternal, goes on forever. And the fact that it goes on forever leads to some strange consequences. In particular, you have the inflation goes on forever, so you have an infinite time. Also, you're expanding at the same time, so you have an infinite volume. When you have infinite time and infinite volume, basically anything that can happen will happen. And so, if you start off in any given place, as long as it's possible, it doesn't have to be probable, it can be essentially arbitrarily unlikely, but as long as it's possible, any transition will happen. Okay, so once anywhere you start this eternal inflation, you expect to generate transitions which generate regions of the universe which are then in anywhere else that can give rise to infinite inflation. And eventually, this way, you can expect to make a universe where all of the regions in string theory that can give rise to eternal inflation that is possible to connect together will actually be realized.
And that's a statement that, again, assumes the self-consistent use of the low energy approximation so that you don't want Wilsonian effective field theory. But this was pointed out by Tom Max, where he showed that if you try to make a bubble of that other, part of the space that you're interested in, that other vacuum, and you compare the light cost environment to the other things, you discover that the space of solutions, at least in N=1 or 0 supersymmetric vacuum of string theory, like a black hole than a bubble of the other vacuum. And so he argued that the space of vacuum is actually not connected. In the way that you would expect from the one to
I don't need it to be probable that you go from here. All I need is it to be possible.
With the black hole argument, it's not.
You're saying it's physically impossible, or that the black hole would be what you would expect as to like the alpha?
You try to make false vacuum in fact to make a black hole. That's the argument.
That's what you would typically make a black hole. But quantum mechanically...
Very typically, because the black hole is an enormous entropy.
Yeah, and it can be typical by a factor 10 to the 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 10. It doesn't matter. Because we're dealing with infinities here. We have infinite time, infinite volume. Anything that can happen will happen. Probability of it happening doesn't matter. And once you do get a transmission, again you produce an infinite volume. So eventually, once it started, your universe is automatically going to be produced with this eternally inflated multiverse. With all the different possible eternally inflating states and strings you populated, assuming that you could physically connect them together. So that would be the overall picture of, if you like, string cosmology or any cosmology based on any theoretical of this time.
But this would happen if inflation is fast eternal. So you're assuming that inflation is fast?
No, I'm assuming it forward eternal.
So you're assuming that you started the universe at some point and brought this in?
I'm not worrying about whether the universe starts the universe or not. I'm just saying, okay, we'll start somewhere. And then you see that you just generate this from that starting point. So if it's always been like that, then okay, fine. So the issue of whether the universe starts or not doesn't matter. And any initial stage is going to just get wiped out anyway. Going to this state where you just have this small universe populated, dominated by an eternally inflated state. Okay. So that would be the feature that you would have of cosmology, and that's been promoted by inflationary people for
there's a finite number of protons and other things in the universe. So what we think that there's an infinite amount of degrees of freedom in this even in one vacuum.
Why?
No.
You find the process of the
question. The fact you said that everything that's even remotely possible will happen.
Yeah. You give me any probability you like, and I just have to wait long enough for my eternally inflating universe to happen.
It happens.
Yeah, it happens. Anything happens. Any finite, anything that's not purely impossible will happen. So if it has any finite probability of happening, then I can just wait. I have infinite volume, infinite time. It's going to happen.
So you could all of a sudden have no space time except in a almost kind of put the image or point in one place in the space time, and all of a sudden become quantum gravity. Is that possible?
Yes, you would, in this kind of
so you would go outside of the regime of validity of your approximation in that case.
You would expect that certain regions of this eternally inflating universe would go into three independent regions, if you like.
But then that's a breakdown of a self-consistent approximation.
That would. I'm not trying to do a self-consistent approximation, so I'm trying to give a description of everything. So again, I'm not trying to do some rigorous description, I'm just trying to describe what we expect to happen.
Certain
regions you expect will transition to streaming-type regions, which don't have a space-time operation. Other regions will tunnel down to vector like ours, which don't complain. Okay, and there again, there's a limitation there. But the point is that the physical volume of universe, at least when you can talk about physical volumes, will be dominated by this internal inflation. Okay? And continually, you'll be turning down from these internal inflations to ADS, vacua, something like that.
I suggest we move from the first view.
There will always be physical questions of whether this makes sense. And I actually think there are probably questions along these lines that are potentially going to, you haven't used the words, but are we actually using the quantum mechanics to go up the hill?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, and so an interesting issue is whether that opens up huge numbers of new degrees of freedom, which could make it not work, but we don't have any calculations framework for this, so let's. Well, nobody knows, right? I mean, it's taking us beyond the regime. It's calculable, and so
you can't it isn't really.
So we're going to make an assumption that it works.
Yeah,
but do modular.
There will be regions where you go beyond your ability to calculate. But the point is that there will be other regions which will remain in this low energy effective description. So some will kind of disappear into some region you can't describe, but. Point is that you will get this
That's not a consistent truncation, you see, because when you have foot...
I'm not truncating, I'm just describing the bits I can describe.
It is a good person.
Okay. So...
Maybe just use cross-access fiction. One should try to avoid eternal inflation at all costs.
I agree that this picture is not nice from many people's point of view. I think the next thing I'm going to say would make people dislike it even more. But that's the reason it's not true.
Why not identify eternal inflation? Yes. The ball is pushed up because of fluctuations and so on.
Well, we know physically, in the sort of learning field theory approximation, we can calculate that the field is like going up. So we know those processes do occur. All I'm making is rather weak assumptions that you have false vacuum and maxima. I actually only need one of them, I don't need both. False vacuum and maxima is like this condition. Maybe it's going to happen. As long as it starts. Maybe you can say never start, but then how to get here. Anyway, so one of the consequences of these infinity return inflation is that you can no longer say, you know, what's most likely, where you're most likely to be. Because it's indeterminate. You have infinite volume of all of these places where you get return inflation. So you can no longer, it's mathematically impossible to say what is the most likely initial state of the universe. And that is perhaps a bad news for some aspects of the landscape project in trying to evaluate which vacua are more generic than others, because this cosmological evolution seems to give some fundamental indeterminacy to saying which vacuum is going to be more probable, unless we're somehow lucky that it's somehow completely separated from counting the number of vacuums. I don't see how mathematically that
I thought that the number of theories and people trying to count the number of vacua and so forth, it was sort of separated from how the dynamical evolution goes. I mean, I've been looking on the data, I measure on the space of theories and I measure on the space
I said some aspects of that. So if you're trying to use the measure on the space of theories to actually predict where you're most likely to be, then have a problem.
Well, you just need the theory of the initial conditions, which is your ultraviolet theory, which you're not considering.
No. What I'm saying is, whatever your theory of the initial conditions is, it doesn't matter because it will tend to be a state.
That's just a statement of the way normalization work in the paper theory.
Well, from my point of view, it's just a dynamical statement that irrespective of your initial conditions, as long as they are sufficient to give rise to a reflecting play, mm-hmm. they are because we got to that. Then you're going to tend to this kind of state, in which case it becomes all your probabilities become indeterminate, and you can't say where you're most likely to be. Okay, so now I don't need to. This kind of picture, in some ways, is unsatisfactory or not nice, and that you're not making definite models, definite predictions, and you're saying things like, I can't say what's going to be or not. It may have some slight advantage in terms of how to get where we are in a nice way. So, in terms of cosmology of moduli, there's some... kind of potential, which symbolizes at least the traditional old-fashioned problem of moduli, and seems to be still a problem, that typically you have lots of runaway directions for your moduli. And what you want is to be stabilized somewhere where either maybe you have large radius or you have weak coupling or something, so you're not in a completely non-associative regime. And then you have in terms of cosmology, it's the problem emphasized by Christine and Steinhardt. But it's rather difficult to find your way into such a direction. Actually, it's not properly. So, you're meant to have a usual runaway, and then you have some So you basically have this kind of exponential potential, and then you have some mechanism to give you some relatively modest dip, which is where we might be wanting to live. And in terms of arranging that, in terms of the particle physics, tends to be a bit delicate. In terms of the cosmology, it tends to be even more difficult, in that if you're thinking of starting off at high energy, you tend to run this way past the vacuum you want to end up in. So that you would think that being here would be very non-generic. However, because of this picture, as long as somewhere in this neighborhood you can sustain a turn in placement, you cannot say that ending up here is any less likely than ending up anywhere else. So it doesn't dynamically solve this problem, it just says that in this context, that's not really, you're not really asking the right question. As long as you have a term inflation here, then your initial condition for, you know, coming out of this is as likely as any other range. Because all the probabilities are indeterminate. Okay. Of course, that only works if you do have the twin inflation in the neighborhood of this little map.
So, thinking in terms of multiple modeling states, yes, some of the fields might still hang on in the value.
Yeah, yeah. So, I'm just taking one of the directions. Okay. So, then that gives you a suggestion for where we should have the inflation that we observe, the inflation that's relevant for cosmology, direct observation. So all of this you don't really expect to see. It's just the last bit of inflation that we see that generates the perturbations to see, and what we can actually test and see what happens. But the idea here is that this gives you a hint for where the inflation should occur. They should occur at some high energy scale, but once inflation ends, you fall down this potential and you're not going to end up down here. Similarly, again, more generally, if you have inflation at high energy scale, then also in the process of coming down to lower energy scale, there's many dangerous things. This is just one example. So what I would propose is it's much more advantageous to have inflation occur at this IEM scale of supersymmetry range. So, which in the context of gravity mediated Susie Brayton type scenarios would be the usual 10 to the 10, 10 to the 11 cube, which is much lower than most people consider, though many people have considered that scale before as well, for similar reasons. Okay. So then, the argument is that we should have inflation at the Susie Brayton scale. Another reason for doing that is if you have this picture of Susie Brayton scale combined with the scale of commodity in the potential, again, that's the scale of the potential, so why not just use that scale? Why? There's no reason to introduce some other scale. So then, we can think of inflation at the Susie Brayton scale. And now, of course, I'm focusing on the neighborhood of our vacuum, so we have a fixed Susie Brayton. Now you can say, okay, I want inflation to occur and different problems. But there's another basic lesson that we need to realize about inflation, and that is, although inflation is generic, typically occurs whether you want it to occur or not, n equals 1 is not generic. You will hear many, many talks on inflation where people say generic prediction of inflation is a scale invariant spectrum. It's not. Let me give you a very simple example. The simplest possible form of inflation, apart from old inflation, which again, you know, doesn't work for good reasons, is just this inflation at the maximum. And in order to get enough inflation, all we need is mass to be less than, or approximately, actually less than or equal to 60. If we have this condition, we have a certain mass. And with that, we have, very roughly speaking, spectral index n minus 1 is equal to 2 v over prime over v. Okay, plus v prime over v terms, which are negative to the near maximum. And in this case, what we get, well, v double prime is m squared, v is v, so we get this is equal to 12.
Isn't V double prime 8?
Yes, n minus 12. Doesn't make a difference by our graph. The point I'm saying is that this is not close to 0.
Yes. But you have to take m plus there as the altitude potential. It will be.
I'm setting 8 pi g equal to 1.
Yeah, but you have a V naught with this.
Yeah, this is V naught.
This is not bounded.
No. You have to be dimensionally correct.
Yeah, so I'm using units in which a pi g is equal to 1, so you're like m flank is equal to a p d v is equal to 1. The reduced flank mass is 1 minus 2.4 times. I suspicion that the numbers might be slightly wrong. This is a little bigger than I have in my mind. But anyway, demonstrates the point that n equals 1 is not an error. In order to get that, you have to have
the mass in the square root of 6 V naught.
Square m squared is 3 double prime.
So what can you describe m squared of 12 m squared over V naught? And we can see that it's not 12. M squared over
V0 is supposed to be a small number, isn't it? M squared over V0. Yeah, that's the fallacy that I'm trying to emphasize, that in general for inflation, M squared over V0 doesn't have to be small. And in particle physics, you don't expect it to be small, because V0 breaks the supersymmetry and generates masses of order, you know, that at most we make this, you know, of order 1. So you don't need a small mass to get inflation. You don't even need a small mass to get an infinite amount of inflation.
As long as you start with the right initial conditions.
Yeah, it's actually, well, there's two arguments about that. First one is that the initial conditions are not relevant. Secondly, even if you want to worry about initial conditions, you can just have another field, another direction that takes you to the maximum. It's very easy to arrange. Finite temperature.
So strange that you have m squared smaller than 6 v naught. I guess it's equivalent to an eta smaller than 1, right? Less than.
This is eta is much bigger than 1. Potentially could be much bigger than 1.
For the same equation, I mean, the eta should be much
smaller. No, that's what I'm saying. No, it doesn't have to be. You get external inflation even if eta is significantly bigger than 1. Okay, a factor of 6 or 12 or 6.
With the 60 amounts of default things?
Infinite number of defaults.
Because it's,
okay. So you don't need small ratio, you don't need small ratio of this to get eternal inflation. Okay. Also, in particle physics, generically, you don't expect. So that is one thing, but this is not, or at least given our current understanding, it's not a generic prediction of inflation. However, it is observed, and that tells us. But we need to get that, and we need to think how and why n is approximately 1. And so now I'll be over time. I'll very briefly describe, outline a way which you might be able to get that in a natural way. And again, that is taking a picture of Washington space and trying to think actually what happens if you want to. Space. Rather than trying to think, I want to build a model of inflation, what do I need to get my model of inflation to work? Let's just look at Washington space. And then pick a very generic picture of Washington space, but we have some Washington space. I'll take one complex modulus field, so I have a two-dimensional modulus space. And one thing we learned from string theory, but could expect more widely, is that we expect to have some points of enhanced symmetry, some points where you get new fields becoming live. This is going to be a generic feature of string theory, and we might expect a separation to be of order Planckscale. So initially, before we take into account supersymmetry breaking, this potential is flat. Once we get supersymmetry breaking, we're going to induce some potential on this space. These points in a hard symmetry, because of their symmetry, will often tend to be maxima or saddle points within them. And I'm going to take, what I need is two points in a hard symmetry. One will be a maxima, and I'll assume it has some symmetry greater than Z2, so that we have some approximate circular symmetry around that maxima. And this other one, I'll take to be a saddle. We have a subtle point over here, and now I've actually moved somewhere else, maybe over here or over here. I don't really need much about the properties about that. Then what's going to happen?
What's constant on these circles?
This is a contour graph of the potential.
So is a light field?
It's a modulus that acquires its mass at the supersymmetry breaking scale, so it has an electric scale mass. Well, I haven't finished with the potential, because this is actually not exactly what we would expect. Because at these points, we have couplings to other fields which become light at these points, we're going to get renormalization of the potential as you approach these points in enhancement. And in particular, in the neighborhood of this point, what it can do is change the sign of the mass, like we expect to happen to the Higgs and the supersymmetric standard model.
Okay, wait a minute, you're talking about this modulus. Is it a Higgs singlet or what? Higgs singlet, then how wide do we talk?
Well, it depends where in modular space you're talking about. At these points in half symmetry, probably it's not a Higgs singlet. At a generic point, the gauge field will get Higgs to have a time scale mass, so it would regard it as a Higgs.
An example of such modeling?
With a string theory. Any more
questions? Interesting, the modeling here can be.
So, in the neighborhood of this point, we also expect the potential to get renormalized. And in particular, we could have a potential that's coming like this to a maximum, but then the mass changes sign, so we get actually a minimum and get something like this. And because of the circular symmetry, we have something that's a bit like a volcano.
So, is it purely from thermal correction or?
Not the mix, it's vacuum.
Oh, okay, sorry, I got confused. Okay. Just from RG flow, since you are saying that potential can be monitored. Okay,
good. So now here we start off with circular symmetry, and so that this angular direction is flat. And in the radial direction, it's not flat. Actually, you get slightly flat by the renormalization, but not very enough as we want. Okay, so at this maxima, it's actually relatively easy to satisfy this because it gets slightly flat by the renormalization process. So you'd expect to get a turning inflation around this greater rim. So that will be your starting point coming from this kind of picture. So this is the last, this is your turning inflation from which we emerge from. And then what's going to happen? Well, let's suppose our vacuum is over here. Say this is us. What would you expect to happen? Well, maybe you might think, okay, we start here and we roll down to our vacuum. Actually not. Because at this saddle, you can also get quite a lot of inflation. In some cases, depending on the curvature here, you can also get a certain inflation. Or not, depending on the case. Let's assume that before we take into account renormalization, that we do get a inflation at this saddle point. Then, actually, rather than falling down this way, it would be more likely to go via this way and then this way. Of course, again, we have certain problems with infinities if we have a turning inflation here. However, what I want to do is actually not have a turning inflation here, but have the curvature of the potential away from the maximum such that you would expect to get to inflation. But then the renormalization to soften the mass, or actually to harden the mass, so it's a bit steeper at the maximum than you would expect. But the maximum, this is not satisfying. But further out, this condition is satisfying. And so to get some idea of what you'd expect to happen, if the inflation condition was satisfied throughout, it's obvious that you go this way and then this way. Because you get infinite expansion here, which makes it much more probable that you would have come from this route rather than directly back. And of course, you have some problems with infinities. In this kind of model, you may have some hope of actually decoupling from all these infinities because you have circular symmetry. And so you could maybe argue that all directions are equally like, not indeterminate. But that's not clear. Anyway, if you have potential such that you get flat enough to get a term inflation, you would expect to come this way. However, if the renormalization actually makes the maximum too sharp for a term inflation, then you actually wouldn't expect to come this way, you'd actually expect this to roll down directly, or, well, not directly, but just some generic path. So when you take into account renormalization, if you start over here with the potential flat enough for a term inflation, but as you get towards the maximum, it's not flat enough, what turns out, you can calculate, you would expect to get drawn from an angle where you basically go through this crystal value. So that is the most likely angle, where this mass gets renormalized through that point. Okay, because if you're this side, you're thinking you're getting into inflation this direction, drawn this way. When you're near the maximum, you're thinking you don't get into inflation, and you just go to a more generic angle, and that's the point where these two meet. Okay, so that's what you expect to happen. What is the consequence? Well, the relevant thing is the perturbation. We're trying to get to the variance spectrum from inflation. The radial perturbation is not scalar invariant. Just as I described before, you have this random potential, the spectrum is far from scalar invariant. The angular fluctuations, however, we have a flat direction, they will be scalar invariant.
And what predicts that angular direction?
We have a
symmetry, so you're imposing that.
So as long as you're near this point and a half symmetry, you will have a rather accurate. So you have the fluctuation of angular direction will be scalar invariant. However, you have two sources of fluctuations, the radial fluctuations and angular fluctuations. And the angular fluctuations get magnified because the angle, if you start initially at slightly different angles, that angle gets stretched out to larger values. But also, by a sort of tachyonic instability, the radial fluctuations also get magnified by a similar amount. And if you work out the details, then typically you'd expect the radial fluctuations actually to dominate. However, when you think more carefully about what's happening here, the one place where the radial fluctuations won't dominate is where having a slightly different angle makes a lot of difference. And that makes a lot of difference if you're rolling down to very near the saddle, because you get lots of inflation rolling off the saddle. And it makes a big difference. It's a small angle. Because the number of e-poles from inflation goes like a log of how far away you are from the saddle. So even if you're very tiny amount, 10 to the minus something away from the saddle, you get a significant amount of inflation. So a very small change in angle of 10 to the minus something rather small can make a big difference to how much inflation you get rolling off this saddle. And so enhance the angular perturbation, which initially would be subdominant, but get enhanced to be dominant because of its sensitivity to the initial angle. But for this to work, you need to roll down very close to the saddle. But I've just told you that's actually quite likely if the renormalization is just, you know, if you have that mass over here, the bare mass, if you like, it's such that you can get it to inflation, and at the maximum, it's not. And so somewhere in between, you have to go to this point, and because of the way renormalization works, that's going to be a point logarithmically close to this side. The dynamics is going to take you very close to the saddle. It's going to enhance angular fluctuations and give you a fast step.
So you say there isn't a factor which breaks the symmetry?
You have some ZG symmetry to give you approximate local circular symmetry here, but of course that's broken by higher order terms, which are negligible over here, level fluctuations.
But that also is for the flatness of my angular direction.
You don't need the direction to be flat over here, only in and I've gone slightly over time, but I think I should probably stop there and get a final little talk on that. But just we say we can solve a module problem and by thermal inflation and have baryogenesis in a very simple extension of the standard model.
We seem to have a picture of how extreme fine tuner to get any close to one. This is what you said.
It's generically, yes.
Shift the platforms.
Yeah.
And are you not suggesting that you're not fine tuning?
I'm not fine tuning. You certainly need certain features to work out right. First of all, you need to have available this kind of picture of motion space. Okay, then your module space at Susi breaking scale should be more than just one dimensional, you need a two dimensional module space. And with 2 points in enhanced symmetry at that same scale. So you need certain features on module space. Also, you need the maximum rolled off to have circular symmetry and the renormalization to change the scale of the mass. And you need the mass over here to be one side of this, the mass here to be the other side. So you need a few discrete choices. You don't need fine tuning.
Well, it's special choices you have put before fine tuning.
Tuning, but not fine tuning.
Another question around this issue of the scale of the Susi breaking. There's a lot of controversy on where because what it has is a one T here, which is what we want. How many Susi breakers do you have?
By Susi breaking, do you mean the Susi breaking of observable sector, or do you mean the fundamental scale?
Okay.
I'm talking about the fundamental scale.
Not the central.
Right. Next, we move to panel. So it's pretty quick reports about the cosmology. Just John the series from Steve, we'll talk about. Results from the experiments.